Hello everyone, we are with the 23rd episode of our podcast, The World of Heritage. We have started this podcast as our study project, querying the course of the narratives organized by our lecturer, Ms. Caitlin Williams, aiming to talk with the BTU heritage community. After the semester ended, we decided to keep the talks going because of your amazing feedback. Therefore, we continue with having a new guest today talking about her story, Tania Construci.
So Tania is a fourth semester World Heritage Studies student with a background in archaeology. She started off with a Bachelor of Arts in History with a minor in Classics at the McGill University in Canada. After that, she decided to study classical archaeology for her master's at the Université de Montréal. Her thesis involved studying ancient Greek public architecture with a focus specifically on the architectural development of public shops. She was working for the campaign on the interview team of the Blue Shield Germany in 2020 and was one of the nominators for the World Monuments Watch 2022, nominating the heritage site of the neighborhood of Anafiotika, Athens. She's a member of ICOMOS Canada and was also a member from the Canadian Institute in Greece. Hello again, Tania, and thank you so much to be our guest today. How are you feeling?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, great. We will start with the first round of our questions. Tania, when did you decide to go into the field of history and later into classical archaeology? And was it your love for the classical period or something else?
So I think the influence started pretty young. I have an uncle who traveled a lot when I was a young kid, and he would send me postcards and souvenirs from all these amazing places, would tell me stories about ancient civilizations. And I remember, I think he got me like a hieroglyphs kit for children when I was like 8. So I think that really sparked a love of all things ancient. And there was also a teacher in high school who really introduced history as a career option for me. I'm going to give Mr. Zampini a shout out here, although I doubt he'll ever see this podcast. But he really tried to make Canadian history as interesting as he could for a bunch of like apathetic 16-year-olds. And I really respect that today. Anyway, I stayed with it. And during my undergrad, I decided it would be a good idea to try my hand at archaeology. And I was trying to decide between two excavations, one in Italy and one in Greece. I sent them both emails, and as it happened, the director of the dig in Greece was actually giving a lecture at McGill about the upcoming summer excavation at the Argilos Field School, like that same week. So I thought it was like a sign from the universe. So I went to Northern Greece for my first dig, fell completely in love with it, and followed that feeling for the next 6 years.
That sounds really interesting. As of the perspective of a historian and archaeologist, what is heritage for you personally?
Oh, wow. I think two very different answers are possible here. So I think as an archaeologist, built heritage is obviously plays such an important role. But whenever we're excavating, we're always asking ourselves, like, why did they do this? How did they use this? What was this for? And that's where I think I truly understood that the intangible heritage is just as important as a tangible heritage, and often they're intrinsically linked to the other. And as a historian, I learned how history, heritage, and culture can often be used for an individual use. And reading through the primary sources and then seeing how the secondary sources used and manipulated those original texts for their own purposes really challenged my perception on a lot of different things and really made me critical of what the information I was absorbing. And I think that includes how I see heritage and how it's presented today.
Were you able to do some traveling after your first master and before starting your master at the BTU?
Unfortunately not. I decided it would be more practical to work during the time between. I wasn't too sad about it though, because during my first master's degree, I got to live in Athens and travel to a different Greek island or European country every other weekend. But I needed to save up for my stay in Germany, and I found a really interesting job at an auction house in Montreal that provided me with like a whole bunch of different learning opportunities. And I also got to spend my first summer in Montreal that I had in probably, I think, 7 years, because I'd been excavating every summer in Greece before that. So that was really nice to spend time at home.
Yes, at some time you have to be in the place where your roots are. I can relate to that. So what do you think is so fascinating about Greece?
Oh, man. Where to start, where to end? I'm not sure. I mean, it's an archaeologist's dream for sure. But even if we move away from archaeology for a minute, like there's the culture and history, the food is delicious, the beaches are breathtaking, the people are so, so welcoming. There's so many different landscapes, and oh my God, the weather. I really, really, really miss the weather. Greece is, it's made up of so many unique regions. So like, of course you can walk around like this really bustling city of Athens and see the ancient city there, but you can also turn a corner and walk like the anarchist streets of Exarchia, which is a great place, by the way, I highly recommend it. Then you can go like deep into the mainland and find these amazing hilltop monasteries at Meteora. You can go island hopping in the Kyklades. There's like just so much to love and discover. And I spent almost 2 years living there and 6 summers. And I know I have like so much more to see.
Tanya, you already did a master thesis. Would you mind telling us more about your topic?
Of course, yeah. So my first master's degree was on the state of shops in the ancient Greek world and its colonies during the archaic and classical periods. Basically, the inspiration for my thesis came during my time at Argilos, where we discovered a commercial building that was made up of 12 equally sized rooms. And later we found it was actually part of this huge complex of 4 buildings. We dated the shop to the 6th century BCE, and which is during the archaic period. And to our knowledge, it was one of the oldest of its kind. So that's where my research started, really. I categorized and tried to find every public commercial building that was built during the archaic and classical period that resembled the one that we had found, to see if I could track the architectural development of such a building like the one we had and its possible functions, as well as its broader connection to the economic and social circumstances of ancient Greek life.
Okay, great answers. Thanks a lot, Tanya. Let's take a short break and we will complete the second part in a few seconds.
Hello again, Tanya. Was it a big step for you to move from Canada to Germany, and how did you prepare for it?
No, not really. It wasn't that big of a step. I had already lived abroad in Greece, so I was used to the process and it wasn't that much different. I had to pack an extra coat, but everything else is pretty similar except for the language, I guess. I always try to learn a few phrases before moving somewhere, and I thought it was a good idea to learn how to order something without meat since I don't eat meat. And when I found out that meat in German was Fleisch, it really, really grossed me out. It was so disturbing. But I didn't really have much to prepare, no.
Did you become a vegetarian afterwards?
No, I was already a vegetarian, but that solidified my...
Having Italian background, do you see yourself as more Canadian or Italian?
That's a really great question. So I think when I'm abroad, I always introduce myself as Canadian because I am proud to be Canadian. It's a great country. And I have appreciated more as I lived abroad and talking to people from other countries. I realize how privileged I am to live there. But culturally, I think 100% Italian. All 4 of my grandparents came from Italy. So yeah, the way I grew up, the food culture, the mannerisms, the traditions are all very much centered in an Italian heritage.
Very interesting. Can you think of any positive aspects that Corona brought with it for you?
Actually, when Corona hit, I was in Portugal on vacation between semesters, and it really hit the fan as I was boarding my plane back to Germany, and the Prime Minister was ordering all Canadians abroad back home. And coming from the very protective, overbearing Italian family I mentioned, but they are super loving. They immediately set up a, quote, get Tanya home WhatsApp group to get me the last flights out of Europe to go back home. So I actually spent the entire summer back home in Montreal, which was actually pretty cool. Like, although we were in lockdown, I had to do online semester in like a horrible time zone. I got to spend a lot of time with my nonna in the garden, helping her with the herbs and vegetables and learning all about plants. I mean, you know, she's a farm girl from Abruzzo, so her knowledge on everything plant life is amazing. And I also took the opportunity to ask her about her life in Italy and her experiences. And I actually managed to record some of the conversations, and I would really love to continue to document that. So it's an outcome of the pandemic that I didn't see coming, but I'm really grateful for. And it's not like I don't see my grandmother often. We're, believe me, very close family. But it was that extra time that I wouldn't have gotten if it wasn't for like the suspension in our daily lives.
Yes, that's a really good point, that people are spending more time with their families. And I'm glad you enjoyed your time in Montreal. Do you like living in Cottbus? And what is your go-to place in the area? Doesn't matter if it's a restaurant or a cafe, just what is your go-to place?
I'm assuming this is like a pre-pandemic question. But actually the other day I passed by a shop I loved in the before times, Mitten im September. And I discovered that it's closed forever and completely empty inside. But it used to be an adorable little tea place with the cutest couches and the workspace in the back. And the owner made the best quiches and tarts. So that was really upsetting. And I guess I'll have to find a new favorite place once things start opening up again. But yeah.
Do you spend a lot of time in nature in Cottbus?
Yeah, and definitely now with nothing else to do, obviously. But I've always been one to like go biking, especially back home. I live right next to a bike path, so here was no different. And yeah, I'm really excited to spend the summer here, actually, because I didn't get to last time. So going to explore a bunch of different areas with bikes and friends, that'll be really fun.
At the moment, are you planning on moving also away from Cottbus for living anytime soon? Or do you want to stay there whole summer?
At the moment, the plan is to stay here. I will be going back at the end of the year to Montreal for a couple of months. But the plan, which is basically no plan, yeah, is to stay here in Cottbus. Just like the rent is just so cheap comparative to other places that I know. And I don't think I'll stay in Cottbus beyond my thesis, unless like someone pays me a salary to stay here. But
thanks, Tanya. We will be back with the third part in a few seconds. Stay tuned.
Hi again, and here we go with more questions about the program World Heritage Studies.
So, Tanya, how did you find out about the Master of World Heritage Studies in Canada, actually? And what do you think it is so special about it? I mean, in Canada, when you were staying in Canada, how did you find out about the master in Germany?
Yeah, good question. Well, after I decided that I wasn't going to do a PhD in archaeology, I was looking for something more practical, more hands-on, where I could like save the places that I had come to love. And after a lot of Googling and comparing programs and talking to other people I knew that were kind of in the same field, some of them actually heard about BTU Cottbus, and I actually found it on Google while I was browsing. And so I found this program that had everything I was looking for. It's based off of the UNESCO Convention, the Protection of Cultural, World Cultural and Natural Heritage, focusing on like hands-on approaches and managerial skills. It's an international university and it has free tuition, which is a beautiful thing.
Especially when you come from Canada, because the tuition there is pretty high, right?
Yeah, I mean, comparatively to the rest of Canada, Quebec actually is really good for tuition. We have like a cap on it, so it wasn't that extreme, but still it's not free.
So during the semesters you had, the last four semesters, what was your favorite subject so far?
Hard question. But I think I always like the subjects where I learned the most, and I really really loved the finance and fundraising. I never thought those words would come out of my mouth. The last summer semester with Nicole Franceschini, I knew I should take it because I would no doubt need those skills later on in my future. But I actually had so much fun creating the project and budget. And honestly, like the project worked out so well that I might be my plan B or C, like if my future plans don't work out. So that was quite an experience.
Yes, we heard a lot of stories about funds, finance and fundraising, that it was a lot of work. So many people told us already that it was really, really busy and you guys had so much to do. But it's nice that you afterwards think about it as the best subject because you learned so much. That is really nice. What exactly did you do for the World Monuments Watch as a nominator? And does this work still continue? Because I think the deadline was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, the deadline was on May 1st, so I finally submitted it. Yay. I think it was the most stressful yet simultaneously fulfilling thing I think I've done in this entire program. It was actually a study project this winter semester, the World Monuments Watch 2022, with Dr. Britta Rudolph and Nicole Franceschini. I had to choose a site where we had some contacts already in order to nominate them for the World Monuments Watch List, which is like an advocacy program for the World Monuments Fund. We had the choice where we could officially submit it to the World Monuments Watch. And of course, I was like really excited about that opportunity. And I chose the neighborhood of Anafiotika in Athens. It's one of the oldest neighborhoods in the city, and it's located on the slope of the Acropolis. I had visited the place a bunch of times, and I absolutely loved it. And it was always a site that, like, I don't know, it stuck in my mind as a place that was full of contradictions, because you have, like, here's this tiny neighborhood in the center of a major city at the foot of one of the most famous sites in the world. And yet people went there, like, for the gram. And it really always stuck with me how people knew this, how little people knew this place. And like, as they were walking through it and take pictures of these homes that people still lived in, and like just on their way to see the Parthenon, and they knew so little about it. Anyway, I had some contacts in the city from the Canadian Institute in Greece and some other archaeologist friends. And so like often what happens in Greek working relationships, you get put into contact with a friend of a friend of a friend, and eventually you get your mark. So I had two great contacts who helped me a lot throughout the nomination, who got me in contact with the residents themselves. They helped me gain letters of support from different institutions and NGOs that were needed for the nomination. And all the supplementary documents like archived letters and maps. And they really helped me fine tune the information I needed to complete the nomination form, because they asked you for the site history, physical description, cultural significance, and the category that the site fit into, which for us was underrepresented heritage. And then the plan of action for the project. So it was a long, long process. And I was often discouraged. There were some moments where like, oh my God, this is not gonna work. And just people weren't sending me things on time, and which happens like with every project. But it was such a great learning experience. And even if the nomination isn't successful, but like, no, cross your fingers, I hope it is. It was definitely worth it.
Congratulations and well done for this biggest step.
Thank you.
So are you planning on writing your master thesis at the moment, or what is your plan?
Yeah, I am planning on writing my thesis soon, planning being the operative word. I'm currently stuck on two very different topics that I need to narrow down and finally decide which is best for me. Do I want to divulge my unfiltered, unrefined topic ideas on this podcast? I don't know. But yeah, the planning stage is where I'm at.
Okay. And are you taking any classes this semester?
Yeah, I am. I'm taking the storytelling, marketing and PR class with Simona and Roland Bernecker, which is really interesting. I'm really excited to work on the projects there. And a German class, finally.
So did you apply for any internships this semester?
Yeah, I think like most of my classmates in these times were just applying to several internships. And actually what I found super weird is that most of them are unpaid, which is to me incredibly ironic and almost hypocritical, since all these conferences by all these organizations that we're attending online right now are focusing on like youth engagement and sustainability. It's like, yeah, okay, great. But like, start paying us for internships. Anyway, back to the topic. Yes, I'm currently volunteering for the World Heritage Watch at the moment as part of the social media team. And this summer, I'll be participating in two projects with the European Heritage Volunteers that I'm really excited about, because I missed my chance last summer since I was stuck back home in Canada.
Which projects did you apply to?
So I'm going to participate in the one in Austria, the monastery, documenting the monastery, and working with mosaics in Kosovo.
So here we are with the last question. What is your favorite World Heritage site and why?
Oh no. Do people actually pick just one? That's amazing. I remember listening to Kat's podcast, and I know she already said Historic Center of Rome, which I'm really upset about because I would have said that. Oh my God, how do I pick just one? Oh my God, this is so difficult. Obviously, my brain is like filtering through all the Greek sites that I know, which is terrible. Even in Italy, or just like, you know, I see pictures like a slideshow going through my mind. Okay, I think I'll pick the ancient site of Delphi in Greece, just because I think I have like an emotional connection to it. It was one of the first sites I saw for my first trip to Greece, right before I did my first archaeological dig. I was actually with my family, my stepsister, my mom and my stepdad. It was a great trip. I loved it. And that site is just, I don't know if you've ever been, but it's located in the middle of the mountains with this amazing, fantastic view. And you're surrounded by these ancient temples and this like sacred site that people walked, I think, a month from Athens to visit just to ask a simple question. And just the history behind it, the legends behind it. It's just like, I know it's not real, obviously. There's no magic oracle there, but just like the spirit of the place is very magical, if I can say that. And it's just breathtakingly beautiful. Yeah.
I think no one else said that before, so that's new one. Thanks a lot, Tanya. We're already done with our recording and podcast talk. And also thanks for all your great answers and your site that you mentioned in the end, and your thoughts and your stories seem amazing. It has been great to have you with us, and we hope the pandemic gets over soon so that you can achieve all the things you just told us and that you can do the European Horror Heritage volunteer stuff and all the regulations are going to get minimized, hopefully. It was a great pleasure to get to know you, as I have never met you before. And yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks also to everyone listening to us and supporting us along the way. We have had the pleasure to get to see our classmates and get to know them more and are happy to share all their stories with you guys.
Thanks for the amazing feedback, and we hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did. If you haven't done so, you should also listen to the other podcasts with, for example, Anna, Helena or Bisrat. For the next episode, number 24, we will have a chat with Divashree. She is also a World Heritage Studies student in her second year and from India. Currently, she is a student assistant at the Chair of Cultural Management. Let's find out more about her story.
If you are also interested in sharing your thoughts and stories, please feel free to contact us. You can reach us on Instagram, The World of Heritage, or email. Thanks again for listening and stay well. Bye!